Welcome to Land Academy. This is the Cash Flow from Land Show, where we show you how to buy unwanted vacant land and sell it for more on the internet. I'm Steve Butella.
I'm Jill DeWitt.
We are your hosts. With over 15,000 completed transactions, we are the experts in this niche land flipping business.
We hold a drawing to win a free property every month. Enter to win by reviewing this show on iTunes and downloading our free ebook at landacademy.com. All right, let's get this show started. Jill DeWitt here with the Jack and Jill Show, and today we have with us Gavin Welch. Gavin Welch is a real estate investor and realtor that loves real estate. He spent 3 years studying real estate investing and is primarily a buy and hold investor. However, he has flipped, wholesaled, and built spec homes. Gavin Welch is a native Floridian and is passionate about real estate. He's a member of the National Association of Realtors and lives with his family in Lakeland, Florida. Welcome, Gavin.
Thank you very much for having me.
Great to hear from you, Gavin. Hey, I checked you out before the show, and you've got pretty impressive internet presence. You're totally qualified to teach people how to be a real estate agent correctly.
That's what I spend most of my time doing. I do a lot of YouTube video. You know, the game of being a real estate agent has changed, and I'm just trying to teach new agents how to stay on top of it.
Let's start right there. How has it changed? How do you think it's changed, let's say, in the last 5 years?
Okay, well, my grandmother was an agent, and I remember sitting in her living room when I was a kid and looking at these big MLS books. They were yellow.
Ours were blue. We're maybe the same age. This is great stuff.
I'm 42. Anyway, I remember going through the black and white pages. Well, today everything's online. And we have the most powerful tool in real estate is in your pocket. It's your phone. So I shoot a ton of video with my phone. I've got wide angle lens clips on my phone. You know, I just pan from room to room. I deal with a lot of investors. And the YouTube is owned by Google. So YouTube traffic gets more seniority on Google than if you pay for it. And it's free.
Exactly.
So I can leverage the YouTube video, put them up on the YouTube, and then I can put a link across the top of that video back to my website. Hey, you like this home? You want to see more like it? Boom. And everything kind of drives traffic and goes back upon itself.
Do you find that your online presence even leads you more credibility in your day-to-day business operation?
Well, I think so. And it didn't start out like that. It was an accident. My online presence was an accident.
Okay. All right. Let's hear. I want to know what happened.
I love real estate investing, and it's you know, something I've done for a long time. It's a family disorder. Everybody in my family kind of does it. And so I started the podcast on a whim. Just go, hey, let me go 7 episodes and see where I get. Well, I'm 105 episodes into it. And it's kind of built its own traction. And I keep it real organic. I don't edit. You know, you'll hear me cuss and you'll hear me hit my head against the microphone. And that's it. I'm a t-shirt and jeans guy. If you ask me a question, I'll tell you the answer. But you better be ready for the answer.
I love it.
The podcast is the same way.
I have to say, it was the funniest thing when I was kind of spending a few minutes looking over some of your shows and your titles before we did this show. I noticed that most of your shows are rated, I guess, G. I mean, they're clean, but there was one that was explicit, and I think it had your wife in it.
She is a force to be reckoned with.
I am dying now.
Well,
I have
listen
not
to last
listened.
Week's. I'm playing the outro, and she's like, man, your music blows. I'm like, okay, the microphone is still on, honey. But you know what? I get the highest ratings when she's on the show. She knows very little about real estate. She's just my partner in crime. And, you know, and we banter back and forth.
You know, I can tell who's a natural. Jill and I interview tons of people on our show, and I can tell who's a natural and who, you know, and who's maybe got some work to do. And I can just tell you were born to do this.
Well, I really enjoy it. And my wife and I enjoy sitting down talking and just, you know, and we're talking about this house last week that I bought, I couldn't rent. And she kept going, well, if you'd listened to me and not bought it, like I told you, we wouldn't be in this position now, would we? You know, and that's it. I don't put on any airs. This is who I am. This is what I do. And this is it. Whether it's on iTunes or I'm your agent, you know, why is my host not slick? Well, because you're overpriced. You know, not everybody wants a jacuzzi tub in the middle of the living room. You know, so I don't know how to be anybody else. That's it.
So back to your grandmother for a second. Mm-hmm. So I remember the exact moment that I saw that MLS book for the first time. I remember it like it was yesterday. So, it sounds like you do too. So tell us, back to the original question, what is so different about how you do it successfully and how your grandmother did it?
Well, you know, the basics are the same, believe it or not. You know, the way to start is FSBOs, expireds, open houses. Those three things are the same. But, you know, I use a professional photographer on all my houses. I sell probably 98% of all the houses I list. I've got probably 10 on the board I can see right now. Some of them were on the market for over a year with another agent. And one of them I sold at $700,000, which in our market is way above the average. The average is around two. And I sold it in 15 days. Because most of the people look to buy houses online. So instead of sticking a sign out in front of it and saying, I hope somebody drives by or sees it on the MLS, hey, let's shoot a video or let's take these beautiful pictures that my photographer took. Let's retarget them or let's put them in Facebook in front of people that make, you know, can afford this house and are likely to move and are likely to move to Florida.
So I just have to back up and say something here because I think you'll love this. I'm so on the same page with you. So can I assume that in all your professional photos that the toilet seat lid is down? Is it just me or Gavin? Or have you seen those? I'm like, what are these people thinking?
Yeah, you know? I don't know. My photographer does it. He's really, really good. And he makes me look good.
That's it.
Yeah. And I don't know what he does, but it's magic.
Is that the secret? The secret is just get it out there on the internet?
Pictures say a thousand words.
I hear so many disgruntled agents all the time saying, I just, you know, it's not like the good old days. I can't get it done. And I personally don't understand that because we do really, really well buying and selling vacant land and we wholesale a ton of houses. So
yeah, I'd wholesale some. I don't do a ton because it's not my primary focus. But, you know, I go, look, Mr. Homeowner, your front sidewalk hasn't been pressure washed in 10 years. Your house hasn't been pressure washed. I'm going to pressure wash it.
It's just common sense.
I'm paying the guy. And they're like, well, why are you doing that? Because I'm paying the photographer and I want this house to sell and I want it to look good in the pictures. You're hiring me to sell your house. You're not hiring me for my boyish good looks. You're hiring me to sell your house. So I'm going to do whatever I can do to sell your house. I bought a drone. I'm now flying a drone because the first picture that's elevated like 20 degrees gets 30% more views.
You bought a drone because you're a guy and it's cool and you like cool stuff.
Well, and my wife's like, hey, you've got this $10,000 pilot license. Why don't you start using it for something that could actually make some money?
I love it.
And I am a guy and I do like toys. Yes, I do.
We have this store out here. I don't know if you guys have them in the East called Fry's Electronics. And it's like guys our age. It's like Toys R Us, but for electronics and stuff. I have a whole room full of electronics stuff I just haven't even opened yet.
I'm not quite that bad, but yeah, my wife, you know, I've had 3 and 4 motorcycles in the garage and, you know, my wife's like, you're going to use this boat anytime soon? And hey, what about this? And I'm like, yes, I'm an overgrown child and I understand that. But
so the whole secret to selling real estate as an agent is just common sense.
Common sense. Do the uncommon. Don't do what everybody else is doing. If you don't do whatever, if you do something uncommon, you get uncommon results.
So, you know, go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. Yeah, just be creative. If it doesn't work, what I lose? Absolutely nothing.
So here at Land Academy, we have a ton of members. We have a ton of members that we're all kind of in a group on successplant.com. Mm-hmm. We buy and sell vacant land, and we're starting to buy. I've done it for quite some time. Jill and I have done it for quite some time. We're starting to wholesale houses together. And, you know, we teach this. I've said this a million times on the show and to our group and to whoever we speak in front of. There's two reasons that property doesn't sell. Number one, it's not priced properly, which tells me somebody bought it wrong. And number two, it's not getting in front of the right people. Mm-hmm. And it's that simple. And the vast majority of our membership, posts the property as we suggest. They take exactly what you're saying. Take great pictures and get it out all over the internet. There's some niche little places for rural vacant land that you have to post a property on. And it sells like magic. And everybody's like, gosh, you're a genius, Steve. And I couldn't be further from the truth. You know, it's just common sense.
Yeah, you're absolutely correct. You know, and I was taking a trailer over to a bar of my friend's trailer. He goes, well, you got to pick it up at my friend's house, who you haven't met, but here's his address. Go pick up the trailer. So I'm driving around. I back up to this guy's trailer. He's in the front yard. At the end of the street, there's like this tall grass. I said, what's up with that lot? He goes, oh, behind all that grass is a burned house. I'm like, oh, really? He goes, yeah, it's the couple got in a fight, you know, knocked down, drag out, and he ended up torching it in the middle of the fight. I'm like, well, can I go see it? And he goes, yeah, take some fake boots, have fun. So, you know, I go in there, break down the front door. It's been boarded up. It's got a pool, vinyl fence. I mean, it is trashed. I'm like, well, where's the owner? And the guy's like, oh, he's in jail. Great. Do you think he'd sell it? I don't know. Go ask him. So I, you know, go down to the county jail. Hey, you want to sell your house? Sure. Make me an offer. Great. Would you take 10 grand? Yes. So I get him to sign, go to his ex-wife, who, you know, they're in bitter battle. She's like, I'll give it to you. I just don't want anything to do with him. Great. Would you sign here? Awesome. Turned around and sold it to my friend who rehabbed it, made a fortune. So, you know, every house is a deal, whether you're, you know, wholesaling or going to flip or whatever you're doing, every property is a deal. You just got to be on the lookout for them.
You know, that domestic dispute probably started because a guy bought a drone that he doesn't use often enough.
Most likely.
You just described our business model. We send out offers in direct mail.
Yeah.
Tons, thousands and thousands of them. And we offer silly prices like that. And after the dust settles and you upset a couple of people, which is no big deal at all, you know, people sign them and send them back. And they have comments written on them like that. You know, like, gosh, thank you. You know, I really wanted to get rid of this property and I didn't have time to call an agent or thank you. It's amazing to me. And sometimes they have stories just like you described.
Mm-hmm. And I work, you know, I wholesale myself. I work very close with the wholesalers. You know, I got a good friend of mine. He goes, hey, I got this great deal on a trailer. Can you buy it? I'm like, yeah, give me the owner's name. So I call him up. The owner goes, give me 18 grand cash for it. I'm like, okay. Rented $700 a month. So I turned around and bought this place, put it on the MLS. 4 days later, I sold it to a guy in Alaska for twice my money. So I called up my friend, the wholesaler, and said, look, I got this old lady, hates agents. Shocking, right? Got a whole book, probably 50 properties she wants to sell. I'm sure you can find a wholesale deal in there somewhere. He goes, all right, great. Thanks. Click. 2 days later, calls me back and goes, yeah, I got 4 under contract from your little old lady. I'm like, awesome. And, you know, I'm network relational based. It's not always about the money, especially when you're dealing with, you know, regular friends and people in the industry. And that's what it is. It's all about the network. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Well, you know, I was loving your story about the trailer too, because you know how this works. We know how this works. So Steven has used this now for cars. He's using it for boats. He's using it for all kinds of things. It's kind of for our personal use, but you know, it's the strategy.
Here's my trailer story. We're sitting in Manhattan Beach, California right now, technically on vacation. And so Jill goes out on VRBO, you know, the vacation site. And
yeah.
She picks out 10 places that she like pie in the sky places right on the ocean that, you know, $10,000 a night places. And she sends an email out to 10 or 12 of these owners that says, and you know, the rest of the story, mm-hmm. We're going to offer you $1,200 for the week because I can see right here on this calendar that your place isn't rented. And here's a link to our website. We're really good people. We're not going to rip the place up and we'll have it professionally clean when you're done. And, you know, and somebody sent us a link to check out and we've been here for like a month.
Nice. The worst they can say is no, but don't be afraid to ask.
Exactly. It was so funny. It was like this offer ride to Gavin was like so darn crazy that I'm like, this is going to be good. Let's see what comes back. And I actually did get a little bit of a hate mail. Like, I'm not discounting my property X percent. I'm like, all right, fine. Next. So then, and then sure enough, that night one came through like, heck yeah, Jill. Let's do this. And we've actually made friends with her and it's fantastic. And Steven's right. We're still here. We haven't left. It's great.
That's awesome. And you know, it doesn't hurt to ask. It costs you nothing to ask.
Right.
All you had to do was send some emails. Yeah.
So how do you find off-market deals? I noticed that one of your shows was called 5 Ways to Find Off-Market Deals.
you know, I drive around, get addresses. You know, here in Florida, there's a, you know, large retiree. So if I find a house that I think I can wholesale or a lot that I think would be interesting, I can make some money on, I try to find the nicest house next door or, the, you know, one of the nicest yard. And that's usually the retired guy who knows exactly what's going on across the street.
Oh, that's great. You know, I didn't think
landlords,
about that.
Tired landlords are great. Evictions, file evictions, any way I can. The mailmen are the people always knows what's going on. One of my favorite tricks is go to the hair salon with a box of donuts. Hello, ladies. How are you? I'm bald as a cucumber, so it doesn't help me very much. But how are you doing? I'm looking to buy some houses. Do you know anybody looking to buy or sell? I can pay cash, blah, blah, blah. Here's a box of donuts or bagels or whatever. Here's my card. If you think it's somebody who wants to buy and sell, could you have them give me a call, please? Thanks.
We do the same thing, the donut thing, with people at the county, the county recorder and the, and title agencies.
Yep.
It works like a dream.
Mm-hmm. You just ask. All you do is ask. Everybody you can come across, ask them.
What's your percentage? I mean, I'm not a huge fan, I have to admit, of driving for dollars because, especially for what we do, it's so much faster. If I spend 8 hours driving around, the number of things, the letters I could have delivered in that 8 hours, I could do 10,000 blasts a whole big area versus driving around and hopefully get three. So, I mean, what's your percentage in the return and how does it still work?
You know, I agree with you, Jill, very much that driving for dollars is not the optimal time and money spend. Thanks. And when I'm driving for dollars, I'm driving for other reasons. I just have to be on the alert for overgrown yards or this or that or whatever. Mailers are good. The problem is people mail once and they go, well, you know, I got three phone calls and no deals. Yeah, good thinking, but you got to keep mailing them 5-6 times.
I couldn't agree more.
You got to keep doing it. You can't just do it one time. You know, wholesaling, everybody thinks wholesaling is easy and it's quick money. And, you know, look at this check I got on Facebook. Well, that's awesome. I'm glad you got a check. And it may be your first deal. But the reality is it takes 3 or 4 months to get the snowball going, the marketing dollars to kick in.
Bingo.
And the people respond.
Thank you, Gavin. That is why you're successful. Maybe that's it, because I talk to some people that are just, they're not at your level and they don't understand the what you're saying. Yeah, I sent it out, nothing happened. Or that what they send out is, you know, a generic postcard that looks like it's a pizza company too. Sometimes I kind of go, I wouldn't call back on that either. You know, let's think about this, everybody. You know, it's a big difference when you're sending out, that's what we do. We send out real offers and it's not a generic thing too. And I think that's why we get the response that we get. It's made out to you with your property. Everything's correct on it. And there's a legitimate offer in there and people go, oh, okay. They're serious.
One of the first things that I ask our members to do long before they're even members in our free ebook is to go out on Craigslist and post a posting that says, hey, we're really interested in buying your land and we pay cash and we can close quickly. We don't pay market price. If you just want to get rid of it, quote unquote, give us a call. And it's amazing to see super new people in real estate just light up because people do call, you know, and they don't necessarily do deals right out of that Craigslist exercise. But what it does is kind of, it either pushes them in the direction of, hey, I really want to try this and do this for a living, or it turns them off. One way or the other, they find out if they're made for it or not. So there's people out there that want to sell they want to give their property away right now.
Yes, you're absolutely correct.
They're sitting around the coffee table talking to each other saying, you know what, we got to get rid of this house right now because Uncle Jesse's got to go to the hospital again or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you're absolutely correct. You just got to have to find them. You have to get in front of them and just tell them the deal. Even as an agent, look, Mr. Homeowner, you want to sell this house today for cash and be done with it? Or do you want to get top dollar for it? I can help you either way.
Hey, you know, that's a good point that we talked about too. Do you buy them outright yourself sometimes?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. IRA, awesome. Use other people's money. We'll do a land, what people call land contract or seller finance, whatever I can do to put a deal together. Sure.
Brilliant. Why are you so special, Gavin? You get it. Steve and I talk about this all the time and you are.
I came from investor first.
I think that you were just born with it like I was. it sounds like your grandmother just, you're bouncing off your grandmother's knee with, and she was reading the MLS book when everybody else was reading the Angry Caterpillar or whatever it's called.
You know, I got a picture of me probably like 4 or 5 years old standing on a bulldozer that's moving, pushing down trees because my dad bought a piece of property, built a road and then sold it. Which, you know, I'm probably hanging onto a chainsaw in the picture too, which is, you know, violating every child labor law. But, you know, and then I remember moving houses with him. He goes, oh, we didn't buy the land. We just bought the house. We're going to put the house over here and then rehab it and make money. And then, you know, so I remember rehabbing a house we were living in when I was a kid, and to flush the toilet, you had to turn on a sprinkler system because there was a pipe coming in the window to the toilet. So it's a family disorder. Yeah.
I love it.
I'm going to start calling it a disorder. I love that. It is a disorder.
Well, I know. My wife's like, hey, would you calm down a little bit so we can kind of get focused about it? Because if it was up to me, I'd be turning property all the time.
How does she help you in the business at all? Is she part of this?
She does. Well, okay. She is a mental health therapist by training.
Oh, well, there
so,
you
like,
go.
So, like, our tenants get a screening for a tenant plus a psychiatric evaluation, which helps. She's very personable. She's excellent on the phone. You know, her dialing numbers, like if she's talking to sellers, is probably 4 times what mine is, because she knows how to get to people's story and to make them talk and to open them up and to do all this stuff, because that's what she got paid for so long.
Man, that's
where I'm like, oh, you don't want to sell it? Okay, great. Thanks. Click. And she's like, what are you doing?
Your division of responsibility in your household is the same as ours. You know, I have very little patience for, I just want to find out if you want to buy it or not, or sell it or not. And Jill will make friends until they do what she tells them to do.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
That's so true. I love it. So, hey, I want to ask you too on a side thing. Tell me about this nonprofit and what other projects you have going on here?
Well, my wife, I worked for a very lucrative company called Enron. And this was, you know, back in the day. And my friend was a judge, and he brought this little Honduran girl. He calls me and says, hey, can you enclose my garage by the time I get home in a week? I'm like, yeah, I can do that. He goes, good. My credit card's on my dresser. Handle it. Okay. I'm like, what are you doing? He goes, well, you'll see. Just enclose my garage, make it a bedroom, handle it. Don't worry about the cost. So he brought this little Honduran girl up. She was blue. Basically, he's a judge, went to this little village in Honduras, and they're like, oh, this girl's going to die. Next, he goes, no, I don't think so. So his mom, he's got some very strong political connections in the Orlando area. Arnold Palmer agreed to do the surgery for free with a surgeon who was Honduran and blah, 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 and yada, yada, yada. Everything kind of fell into place, and we fell in love with this little girl. And my wife's like, you know, let's go back. And we bought her a house because they had 8 kids living in, you know, a 10 by 10 room, concrete block house. I said, let's buy our house, fix it up, get our family going. Let's change the trajectory of this family. And my wife said, well, what does that look like? I'm like, I have no clue. So basically we started our own nonprofit having no idea what we were doing. And we went and we actually, you know, I was working at Enron. I quit and we went to Honduras and lived there for 3 years. Wow. And then we started, got involved in gangs. We weren't in a gang. We were getting kids out of gangs, which the gangs, like, you know, they kidnapped a president of the country's son and sent him his ear and said, pay or he's going to die. And the president's like, great, kill the gang members. So we're like in the middle of the gang war. And meanwhile, so we bought this like 200-acre farm in the middle of the country, and we're mixing all the gang members, which we were the only people in the country that did, because they'd kill each other. So it was everything we kind of did was dumb luck, but it worked. And basically we actually shut it down 3 years ago. It was called Servant's Heart. We just went to help people do what they're going to do naturally. I'm not going to go down there and throw $1 million at some great American project because it's going to fail. And the Honduran countryside is littered with great ideas that failed because it's American mentality in a foreign country. So we're like, look, what is working here? How can we help the locals do what they're going to do? And that was it. And the kids that we started sponsoring, you know, 20 years ago, like we've got one in med school that I said, I'll pay for as much school as you want. Great. You know, he called 5 years ago and said, great, I got accepted in med school. Awesome. Now I got to figure out a way to pay for that. But, you know, we put a whole probably 40 kids through college including the ones finishing med school next year from 20 years ago. We built probably 80 houses down there. We built a feeding center. We built a drug rehab program and gang rehabilitation center. And we're still in and out. We've got some very good friends down there, and we're still in and out.
That's fantastic, man. So do you, how's your pension doing with Enron?
Well, everything moved. I took my pension. I took my 401k. I cashed everything out.
That's awesome.
My dad's, you know, he's an attorney by trade.
The only guy.
He's like, son, you quit a Fortune 500 company to go live overseas where you have no idea how you're going to make money and support your family. And you don't even speak the language or know anybody in this country you're going to. I'm like, yep, that about sums up. He's like, have you hit your damn head? I'm like, no, seems like a good idea. Yeah. So that's the nonprofit story.
I try not to explain anything to my dad because it's the same reaction, just like you said.
Well,
like,
now I think everybody kind of understands that I'm going to do what I'm going to do. So you just better smile and nod.
That's hilarious. I love it. Because what advice do you have for somebody who wants to be like you? What can you give someone starting out?
You know, just do what you want to do. What makes you happy. Do what you want to do. Find a way to make money at it. Don't be afraid of failure or taking risks, and just talk to people. Because whether you're trying to buy a piece of property and, you know, if you establish a relationship with a seller, look, Mr. Seller, I'd like to buy your property for, you know, $15,000. I don't have $15,000 cash. What I can do is I can give you $500 with the option to buy it in 6 weeks. Would you take that? Would that work for you, do you think? Okay, that wouldn't work. Well, what would work for you? Let's see what we can put together here. You know, and just be honest with people and be like, look, this is what I've got. This is what I can do. And, you know, people really respond to honesty and integrity. And look, Mr. Seller, I don't know what I'm doing. Okay. I don't know how I'm going to sell your property. I don't know if I'm going to buy it myself. Does it matter who shows up to buy your property? No, you don't care as long as somebody shows up to buy it, right? Okay, good. Well, I can do that. I can bring you a buyer. I just need a little bit of time.
My theory is that people basically have the will to, they want to make themselves better. Just like your family from Honduras story.
Yeah.
And what stops them, in my opinion, all over the world and here is lack of resources. You know, that's why we founded Land Academy, to try to provide those resources, to provide a database full of assessors, to get good data and then the printing resources to get mail offers in front of people. And it's amazing with just pushing people in the right direction or making them aware of the resources that are available. It's amazing how successful they can be and how quickly.
Well, and everything's available. You just got to put the pieces together. And as far as like money is the most abundant resource there is.
Absolutely.
And if you've got a good deal, money will fall from the tree.
There's way more money than talent. That's what I say.
And, you know, somebody told me a long time ago when we started as nonprofit and we left in like months. We had no plan. Like, what's your marketing plan? I don't know. How are you going to raise money? I don't know that either. I'll figure it out as I go. Well, what are you doing? I'm not really sure about that either. Somebody goes, some guy wrote me a check for $20,000. And I was like, wow, you know, that's a lot of money. I said, what do you want me to do with it? He goes, I don't care what you do with it. I know you. Do with it what you feel you need to do with it.
That's great.
He's like, I don't support your programs. I'm supporting you and what you do. And I know you pretty well. So people will respond to you. It's relationships. You know, you're not in real estate. You're in a relationship business.
Exactly.
So the best thing you can do is build a relationship with these people, because you might not be able to get a deal from them, but they know a lot of people.
That's great advice. Hey, Gavin, where can we find you on the internet?
You can find me at The Real Estate Loop is my website for the podcast. You can email me at gavin@thereloop.com. I'll just tell you, my podcast, I've been slacking. I haven't done show notes in about 40 episodes just because I've not had time.
We use a site called rev.com, R-E-V. Mm-hmm. And they, for a dollar a minute, they do a transcription. And so we cheat that way.
I may have to do that because I just don't edit anymore. I don't do show notes. You want show notes? Please listen to everything you hear because I don't have time.
If you want to get even more lazy, you know, on YouTube, they do have that translation service. It doesn't work as well as it should, but you can get away with it.
You know, I used to use that for my phone. I sent some pretty explicit text to people inadvertently. So I don't use those translation services anymore.
Gavin Welch, it was great to speak with you. The realestateloop.com, right?
Yep.
Awesome. We are for sure going to have you on the show again, if that's all right.
Anytime.
All right. So nice to talk to you. Thank you.
Nice talking to you.
Thanks, Kevin.
Anytime.
Bye. What a great guy.
That was fun. That was really fun.
I really meant that. You know, some people have it and some people don't about on the air. I mean,
yeah, right. I can see why you made that comment. And, you know, to me that he's really good on the air and he's calm and he explains things well and he has a lot of good information to share.
Yeah. You know, I really do remember the first time somebody showed me the MLS link. I was probably 13 or 14 years old and my parents were looking at a house. And
you mean a book? It was a book.
Yeah, oh, yeah. I mean, sorry, okay. I'm sorry. Did I say link?
Yeah.
And that's what you get when you're reading something while you're talking. But so no, I
who can't multitask? No,
I've never even tried to do that multitask. But anyway, you know, we were at an open house in Southeast Michigan, in one of the suburbs of Detroit. They were buying a house, and the listing agent had a book on the table, and I started looking at it, and my jaw dropped. Like I didn't know that. All their real estate was listed in one place.
Mm-hmm. Was it by county or by state back then? Do you remember?
It was by town.
Town, okay.
So you would look
like,
at
I
it.
I don't even know.
And then, okay. And then even then, it wasn't very well organized.
Got it.
And it was black and white. So you really couldn't see the picture. One of the agents in town hired a sketch person. And you could always tell which listing was theirs. Kind of like the old Wall Street Journal. It was a really like a technical drawing.
That's funny.
And man, that agent did really well.
That's cool.
They set themselves apart with that.
You know, it's funny. I should ask my mom. My mom sold real estate here in Southern California in Laguna Hills area back in the, it was in the 80s. I want to say, yeah, it was like 84, 85, 86, 87. I should pick her brain and to find out what it was like back then.
What do you think it was?
I'm real curious. Like? I remember there was like someone had to man the phones. It was like a switchboard operation. Like calls would come in and people and you would, you know, beg to basically man the phones because you wanted to get those leads as they came in back then. And they would divide up every agent had X amount of hours, you know, each week that they would sit and answer the phones. And then I remember we didn't see her a whole lot. That's why my dad finally said, this has got to stop. Because, you know, it was so much, you know, driving around and open houses and, you know, all that stuff. Because it probably wasn't as efficient as it is now, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So,
you know, I think that there's a guy I met in Scottsdale a couple years ago at an REI meeting, I think it was, or something like that. And I was asking him what this exact question, like, what was it like? And he said, the whole thing started because this all started because he said, you know, he was an agent and he said, when I went and got my real estate license, I just went downtown and filled out a piece of paper and they handed me my license. And I said, man, what was it like? And he said, we were all agents back then because somebody would build a plant somewhere and then they'd have to get a bunch of people like skilled workers from other places. So what would happen is these people would have to move. And they would call us and say, hey, I need a house. There weren't even any signs in the ground. So they just knew everybody in town. That's what they got paid for.
That's interesting.
They got paid for their relationships with everybody.
Got it.
So they would say, hey, Jack, do you want to sell your house? Until they found one so this family could move into it.
Got it.
He said price was never the driving. There was no money issues. It was like, this is
the only way to do it. There's no other choice.
We need a place to live.
That's funny. Do you remember back then? Do you remember who was it? Was it Century 21? Whoever wore the gold jackets?
Yeah.
Okay. Do they still do that? I don't even know. I don't think anybody has any kind of a uniform thing anymore. I remember that. My mom had a version of a blazer or something. I think with hers, it was. I want to say it was blue.
I read an article a long time ago that gold jacket, like from a corporate standpoint, what they set out to do to brand themselves with that jacket really worked.
It did.
Where it fell apart is that the agents. Were mostly women, absolutely refused to wear a jacket like that.
Well, it did not make, you know what? For many of them and their skin tone, they did not bring out their thing. They should have picked a different color.
Or should have picked a tie.
Maybe we should do something like that.
Like a nice scarf that you could wear with anything instead of a whole outfit.
We should brand ourselves with something like that, Stephen. What could it be?
A tiara.
A tiara.
A man's tiara.
You know, I think it should be a backwards baseball hat or like a gang bandana.
Or just maybe you could wear your shorts around your knees.
Yeah, that's it. We're going to wear those baggy pants.
Or maybe like a man purse. A hero purse. I think we should start this. A man tiara. I think men secretly want to wear like a manly tiara, like a crown.
Okay, now you're worrying me. if you could see the look on my face right now, I'm a little afraid over
my
here.
My second job is to embarrass Jill.
Oh my gosh, you're doing a really good job. That's actually doing better than your first job right now.
That's not hard to do.
Right. I love talking to Gavin though. Talk about a good guy and good stories, and I really appreciate his agreeing with the overall driving for dollars is not what you should be doing. So
he just Skyped us that's why I was reading and at the same time. He just Skyped us and he's gonna have us on his show.
Oh, I'd love to do that. That would be really, really fun. Good stuff.
Good advice from him. You know, good stories and advice, and I love the burned down house thing. It really shows what's possible.
Yep.
Now let's go buy some property.
We hold a drawing to win a free property every month. Enter to win by reviewing this show on iTunes and downloading our free ebook at landacademy.com.
If you want to get involved or you need more information about our profitable, niche real estate operation, call 480-467-0359. You just might get Jill at the other end of the line.
LandAcademy.com. You are not alone in your real estate ambition.